Welcome to Sino-Opinion, the podcast of the Center for International Security and Strategy at Tsinghua University. We provide Chinese perspectives with a global vision. I'm Xiaoquan, Deputy Director of CISS and Vice Dean of the Institute for AI International Governance, Tsinghua University, speaking from Beijing. Recently, the global gaze shifted to New Delhi for the 2026 AI Summit. With the theme "For the Benefit of All, for the Happiness of All," this gathering marks a historic moment as the summit moves to a global South nation for the first time. From London's focus on risks to Seoul's emphasis on safety, we are now seeing a pivot toward inclusion and democratization. What does this mean for the future of technology? Is the Global South truly gaining a seat at the high table of AI governance? To break it down, we are honored to have Dr. Zhang Tianjiao, Deputy Director of Center for BRIC Studies at Fudan University, Research Fellow of Center for Global AI Innovative Governance today.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Zhang Tianjiao. It's my pleasure to be back on the show and share my understanding of the India Summit with Xiaoquan and our listeners.
Thank you, Dr. Zhang. Well, we know that the summit was held in New Delhi in February, and it has a very interesting theme, for the benefit of all and for the happiness of all. So I know you followed closely on the summit, and what are the most immediate differences you've observed in this Indian flair compared to the previous summits in London or Seoul?
I think the summits in London and Seoul tend to have more modern and technological style, but this time India summit, I think, contains a lot of Indian cultural elements. And we can see from the group photo of their summit and also a lot of decorations. And in fact, you just mentioned the theme of this summit, welfare for all, happiness of all. I think it just contains a lot of Indian philosophy or even religious elements.
Interesting.
And also for the agenda setting of this summit, I think India focused more on like AI and global south and social welfare, digital inclusiveness. So not just about like frontier technology and regulation. And besides tech companies, we have more delegates from developing countries and also social organizations to join this summit. I think their discussion also focused more on how AI will help promote like education, medical service, and agricultural development among developing countries.
Yes, talking about the themes of the summit, we know that starting from the Bletchley in the UK, they discussed a lot of about the existential risks of AI. Then in South Korea, they talked more about the AI safety. So now India puts so much emphasis on impact and influence. So does this evolution in theme suggest that the focus or priority of global AI governance is beginning to shift?
Well, in my view, I think, in fact, they are connected with each other. It is not just one or the other, because I think the UK summit, it sent an alarm to the world by talking about the existential risks. And of course, we should be careful about the development of technology in the future. It will have a lot of uncertainties. And I think based on this discussion, the Korea summit talked more about the specific AI security governance topics, like TASN evaluation, regulation, and international cooperation, while India's summit complements these discussions. So we do not just care about security and safety, but also consider about how to use AI to promote social welfare. I think it's just like Chinese always say, lack of development is the root cause of security problems. So I'm glad to see that the current global AI governance focus on a more comprehensive agenda that includes both security and development.
Talking about this development,
and also a more comprehensive views towards AI. We know this is the first summit hosted by a global South nation. So do you think this signified a rising status for the Global South in the AI governance agenda? Well, these Global South countries have a bigger say in this international governance. And also, how do you evaluate the significance of the New Delhi Declaration? Because they seem to have announced this declaration. And has it truly strengthened the voice of Global South countries in AI governance?
Yes, I think it sent a very important signal. More and more developing countries hope to participate in setting the global AI governance agenda rather than just being rule takers. And supported by over, I think, 80 countries, the New Delhi Declaration emphasize inclusive development and promoting the so-called democratization of access to AI, capacity building, and also enabling technology to serve economic development and social well-being. I think this declaration certainly amplified the voice of Global South. But we also need to be careful. I mean, because AI technology and computing power infrastructure remain in the hands of a few countries and tech companies. So to change the global AI governance landscape, I think Global South needs to make continuous progress in technology development and the rulemaking mechanisms.
Right, right. Just now you mentioned about that AI technologies and infrastructure are actually in control of those a few countries. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we also seeing a kind of phenomenon that more and more countries are beginning to talk about the sovereign AI or AI sovereignty. What does this concept specifically refer to, and how can we prevent this kind of a sovereignty claims from devolving to a technological protectionism?
Yeah, so sovereign AI has recently got significant attention. I think it means maintaining self-reliance in key data, computing power, and core technology, and make sure that AI systems can reflect a country's language, culture, and social needs, and possess a certain degree of policy autonomy and the rulemaking space at the governance level. So I think, it's natural for Global South countries to consider and talk more about possessing like sovereign AI. But I think that, again, if sovereign AI is overemphasized, I think it could also evolve into like technology barriers or digital protectionism, as you mentioned. So I think for the future AI global governance, one of the very important challenges is how to make the balance among sovereignty, security, and also open it up.
Exactly, how to balance is really a very difficult, not only for the international governance of AI, but also for every country that who really wanted to use AI to uplift the economic development and trying to gain more benefits from this technological breakthrough. I also want to move towards China, because we know China is one of the leading countries right now in AI development. And we also saw a very successful convening of World AI Conference in Shanghai in last July. And I know you also participated a lot in that conference. So we also, people say that Indian summit promoted a kind of a third way in AI that actually doesn't follow either the US or China model. How do you interpret this? Is this a kind of a choice for a technical path or a new philosophy of governance? And so I also want to focus on the tension between China and India. Both are global South countries. India is trying to play an even more active role in AI governance globally. So what do you see the momentum on this direction?
Yeah, so I think India thinks it is quite different from both China and the United States. So in other words, I think China and United States, they are the leading powers of AI development. But for India, I think its priority is still catching up with China and United States. So that's why for this summit, I think India emphasized that we need to use AI to promote development and serve AI and like digital public service, education, medical service, and also finance. And at the same time, the so-called third way, I think India adhere to the digital sovereignty or AI sovereignty. We were just talking about that. So which means that while actively promoting the construction of digital infrastructure and training AI models, I think New Delhi should avoid over-reliance on other countries. And I think this will be a very important point to a lot of, I mean, global South countries. So how to balance the technology development and maintaining the digital sovereignty. But at the same time, I think it will be a very challenging job. On the question about China-India interaction, I think, anyway, so this time, I think it sent another very good signal that I think both sides already find a way for a pragmatic cooperation on AI. In fact, since last year, I think the relations between Beijing and New Delhi have started to warm up. And on AI cooperation, I think both sides have a lot of common interests. For example, in promoting technology exchanges, sharing governance experience, and also establishing a multilateral governance framework. I think there are a lot of things that we can do together. So I really hope that this summit is just the beginning of bilateral cooperation on AI, and welcome our Indian colleagues to visit Shanghai for this year's WAC meeting.
Hope that we will see more Indian colleagues or experts, AI experts coming to China for more exchanges in the future. Yeah, and at one point in your remarks was very interesting. That is, sometimes we need to avoid over reliance on a certain country in the technological development. So we also noticed that a lot of big tech companies attended summit this year, and also there was a minor episode while OpenAI CEO Sam Altman reported refused to shake hands with Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei, which was very paid much attention back in China as well. What impact do you think such fierce competition between tech giants have on the global tech governance? And also talking about over-reliance, we know that the Indian industry actually relied a lot on these U.S. big tech companies. So do you see that this summit Indian trying to develop its own industry, or as we say, the more AI sovereignty thing in the future, and trying to improve its own industry in AI development?
Yeah, so I think what happened between Sam Altman and Dario Amodei, just like what you said, it reflects the competition between tech companies. I hope I didn't overinterpret it, but we know recently when Anthropic had troubles with Department of War, OpenAI quickly took over their business. So, this is just a recent example. And I think for India, yes, of course, to catch up with China, United States, India has to, you know, carry out opening up policy and attract more investment and also technology from those leading tech giants. And I think those tech companies, they also care about like the right to set industrial standards, market access, and also international cooperation, and the way that they can deploy their models to India and to the rest of the world. So I think that's why they're joining this summit, I think. But I mean, here also comes the challenge, how to balance the so-called sovereignty and opening up cooperation with those tech companies. So I think, as you can see from like what has happened to the United States and the European Union, in fact, they have quite a lot of disputes over like data security, privacy issues. So I think maybe it will also be a challenging job for India and other developing countries to adhere to the so-called sovereignty, but at the same time, they need to have to open it up policy to attract more advanced technologies and investments.
Right. So a lot of countries also are discussing trying to diversify their investment and trying to attract companies mm-hmm. and from different countries and trying to make it more a kind of an open ecosystem that everyone can participate. So I also know that you do a lot of research on BRICS, the cooperation among BRIC countries. So I know that BRICS, these countries, they also have a lot of cooperation in AI. Do you see any substantive steps or projects they are doing right now in terms of this AI governance or AI development among BRICS?
Yeah. So, in fact, I would like to mention that last year, for the BRICS summit held in Brazil, for the first time, BRICS countries passed a joint statement on AI governance and cooperation, which I think is a very important first step for these countries. Now it's a big, expanded BRICS now. So it includes more developing and also emerging markets in the BRICS cooperation. So in fact, it is not easy to coordinate their AI development priorities and also their governance agendas. But anyway, I mean, last year, it is a very good, I think it's a first step. And at the same time, I think in recent years, China also initiated a lot of cooperation on like AI development and AI governance among BRICS countries. So I think it's 2 years ago, China announced the establishment of a center for AI cooperation of BRICS countries, and which I think also demonstrates China's policy on building like inclusive development of AI and promoting its open source ecosystem to the rest of the world. So I think there can be a lot of cooperation among BRICS countries, just like what happened between China and India. I think it can be a good model, or maybe to other BRICS cooperation between China and Brazil, China and South Africa, and other countries. And at the same time, I think China also has a leading role in the global development and governance of AI. And I think it has been well recognized by other BRICS members. They understand that China has significant advantages in AI infrastructure, also algorithm development and applications. So I think, of course, they can learn a lot from the Chinese experience. And I think they also expect China to play a role in like technology transfer and capacity building, multilateral cooperation to help more developing countries to narrow the digital gap. And last but not least, I would like to mention that, in fact, India will also host the BRICS summit later this year. And I think these countries will come together again. So AI governance must become the crucial topic for them. And I really look forward to them proposing a more impactful cooperation initiative.
Right, so we're going to see more active cooperation among global South countries on the issue of AI. Talking about this BRICS Center for AI cooperation, I know there's a lot of actions taken by China in terms of the institutionalization of all this kind of AI cooperation. We have this BRICS Center. We also have Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They have also some kind of a AI cooperation center in this area. But also I know in Fudan University, you established also the Center for Global AI Innovative Governance. So last year, right? So could you introduce a little bit about the center and what is a goal and what kind of do you have any partners to work with and what kind of activities you are doing right now?
Yes, so in fact, I think last year it's under in fact the leadership of our the president of our university, and I think in fact Fudan is trying to respond to the call of the Secretary General of the United Nations, because Secretary General proposed the idea of AI capacity building network when we had the Digital Compact. So in fact, I think the newly established center at Fudan represents, you know, civilian organizations from China to become the member of the so-called UN-supported network on AI capacity building. So I think this is a very important contribution to the global AI governance. And I think Fudan is basically trying to provide more public goods to neighboring countries, global South, and also, I mean, all of the partners across the world on AI development and governance. For example, our tech team, I think they're developing our own AI models. We have some AI models specifically for like weather forecast. We call it Fuxi. So it's from the Chinese god myth. So it is for like weather forecasting, but at the same time, it can help disaster relief. I think it is very important to a lot of, I mean, global South countries. And so Fudan's team is going to introduce these models and help local partners to deploy these models and to just apply it to their daily work and their life, and to establish their own weather forecast and disaster prevention mechanism. So this is just one of the example how the center is helping provide the public goods to the international society. I think in the future, we will also have more opportunities to, for example, organize like training camps, provide courses, for experts and also like business people from developing countries to share what China has achieved, I mean, in terms of AI development, and to promote technology transfer, and also to build the so-called inclusive development network of AI.
All right. That brings us to the end of our time. Thank you, Dr. Zhang, for this incredibly insightful observation. We've discussed everything from the Indian flag of the summit to the delicate balance between sovereign AI and the global cooperation. It is clear that AI governance is no longer just a dialogue between tech giants or big tech companies. It's becoming a truly global thing. And China is now leading this process and is making an active contribution to this global effort.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Madam Xiaoqian. The AI landscape is shifting fast, and I'm glad we could dive into the Global South perspective today.
Thank you for listening for Sinopinia Chinese Perspectives Global Vision. For more insight from Chinese scholarship on AI and international affairs, please follow or subscribe to our podcast. Until next time.